So it's a marvelous experience just walking through and having the sense that this is where Francis Xavier grew up. This is where he ate. This is where he prayed. So there are all sorts of memories that bring back the power of this man.
Who was he? This man who, centuries after his death, still evokes such devotion, especially in the East, and especially amongst the people of India. Even today, visitors to Rome will make a private pilgrimage through the busy centre of the city in order to see and venerate his hand, preserved in the Jesuit Church of the Gesù. Father Lisbeth de Souza, a Jesuit, an Indian, and an assistant to the Jesuit Superior General, speaks of Francis Xavier, a Spanish noble who became a missionary to India.
Francis Xavier was a member of a noble family. His father was president of the Royal Council of Navarra and also finance minister. At some stage, apparently, there was a clash between the support the family was offering to the local chief or local lord. The brothers of Francis Xavier had to run off into the hills, and from there they were organizing a kind of rebellion, and finally they surrendered. The family continued in its premises with the castle and so on, but with perhaps a vastly reduced prestige and power and influence.
Xavier met Ignatius of Loyola, and although they were even sharing rooms whilst they studied, the two future saints didn't particularly appreciate each other's company.
Initially, when he was studying with Ignatius, they were sharing rooms. He found himself very distant from Ignatius. Now, there's no clear explanation of why this happened. One might be that the family of Ignatius was on the other side of the fence in terms of war with the family of Navarra, and the battle at which Ignatius was injured took place with them on opposing sides.
Perhaps there was another explanation. At the time, Ignatius had already experienced a tremendous conversion and was living a life of great asceticism.
Perhaps a more cogent explanation might have been that Francis Xavier was brought up with a certain amount of pomp and material facilities. And Ignatius, by contrast, would go on the streets begging for his food and wearing all these torn and tattered garments. So I think the picture we have of the early Francis Xavier is something of a dandy. Very popular, well-spoken, coming from the upper class, as it were, and perhaps disdaining to interact with this strange older person who was going around the place begging for his food. Of course, Ignatius would take the food and then share it with the people in the hospice, but he probably embarrassed Francis Xavier no end to have as his companion this kind of person.
So what were Francis Xavier and Ignatius like in their early days?
Yeah, so his background, I think, was very elite. Ignatius' background was equally elite in that sense, but he simply sacrificed all this when he felt called by God and sort of even refused to talk about his past and his own ancestry. Whereas Francis Xavier perhaps still had very strong ties with his family.
And what attracted Francis Xavier to Ignatius, a man whom Xavier had formerly despised?
It wasn't immediately the personality of Ignatius. You see, it was, I think, in 1529 that Ignatius, Francis Xavier and Peter Faber were sharing rooms. And the following year, 1530, Francis Xavier passed first his licentiate in philosophy and then his master's degree which allowed him to then become a professor of the university. But there were two further requirements. He had to get students, because if you had no students who paid fees, then you got no salary. And he required money to furnish his new home, his small little apartment that he had. And Ignatius apparently did both for him. Unsolicited, he went around talking about how marvelous this man would be as a professor, as a teacher. And he began to help garner students for Francis Xavier. And then, since he used to beg money by also going abroad to collect funds for poor students, he helped Francis Xavier financially to set up house, as it were. So it seemed that Francis Xavier was very touched by the unsolicited help that he received from Ignatius, a man whom he somewhat despised. So I think he was taken aback and very touched by that.
Father Lisbeth continues with his tale of Xavier's university days, which eventually led to his conversion after he heard Ignatius quoting scripture. Ignatius asked, "What does it profit a man if he gain the whole world and suffer the loss of his own soul?" Words Xavier took to heart.
Though they seem also to have been other kinds of encounters which worked in Francis Xavier's favour, at the time there were a group of professors called Royal Professors. They were called Royal Professors because they were financed by the king. And their task really was to teach Greek and Hebrew, and they would use the Bible for that. And of course, since this was something of a novelty, they became very popular in the university circles. Unfortunately, these people, though they had no professional training in theology, began to move into theological discussion. And inevitably, they got into trouble with the theologians of the University of Paris. Now, Ignatius seemed to have realized what was happening and told Francis Xavier, "If you want to do theology, go to the lectures given by the Franciscans and Dominicans. Don't trust these guys." And Francis Xavier apparently stopped patronizing these lectures. And it was fortunate for him because very soon the king passed an edict condemning all those who were involved and who were associating themselves with this, with these royal professors. So though he was financing them, he was also very strong to move against them because he found that they were vitiating the faith or practically teaching heresies.
Eventually, Xavier's initial dislike of Ignatius led to an undying gratitude to him. Father Lisbeth describes the sort of person Xavier became.
One thing that seems to have marked Francis Xavier right through his life is a tremendous sense of gratitude that he had. So perhaps these things made him extremely grateful to Ignatius and created a very special bond. Because even in later years, we've got from his own evidence, from his own letters, how he would weep with joy when he received a few sentences from Ignatius, how he would read those letters on his knees, and you know, that tremendous sense of affection, gratitude, considering Ignatius as his father, as it were, father of his life, father of his heart. But apart from that, Francis Xavier himself seems to have been a very, very jovial kind of person, very popular, a bright student. He's supposed to have stood first in his licentiate exam at the university. Something of a public hero because he was champion in the high jump. So all this made him very popular. And this seemed to have continued because even when he was later on in the East, in Goa, and he lived a very hard and very frugal life, that sense of being a person of great joy never left him. And so we have a lot of evidence from other accounts about his return when he would come back to Goa after his travels and so on. The joy that people would feel that he was back in their presence, back in their community. So somehow he had the capacity to communicate a great deal of joy, though when you read some of his letters, he also came across as a very demanding person, very strict. He was almost uncompromising and very, very fierce in his opposition to whatever he thought was evil. But at the same time, this His ebullience, his enthusiasm, his capacity to communicate joy seems to have been a feature of the man and remarked right through his life.